Now, back to the Moscone Center and the Professional Developers Conference.
Good morning. It's great to be here. It's a beautiful day in San Francisco. I'm Todd Warren. I'm the Group Program Manager for Microsoft Back Office. I've been working with developers at Microsoft for about 9 years, so it's always exciting to come and talk to you about a new set of technologies, about a new set of things that you can leverage. On a beautiful day like today in San Francisco, I often think of the Golden Gate Bridge. And the Golden Gate Bridge is, in many ways, bridges in general, are a good analogy for what we're trying to do with Back Office. It's a beautiful piece of architecture in and of itself. It provides incredible function, links people and communities of interest. And that's what we're trying to do with Back Office. What I'm going to talk about today is a little bit about what Back Office is to get us started, and then take you through each of the pieces of Back Office and tell you how you can use those to better enhance your customer's internet experience, the specific APIs. We have a lot of breakouts this afternoon that will go into even more detail on the different pieces that I'll cover. Then what I want to do is show you two applications, two shipping and production applications that bring it all together, that show you how you can use these different pieces in tandem to produce a better, more active website. The last thing I'm going to talk to you about is a little bit about how we're bringing things into the future with Back Office. Some of the additions that we're adding both to the base infrastructure in the file system, the base infrastructure in all the various applications, to make it possible for you to build even more powerful applications. So Microsoft Back Office today is a set of four server applications built on the solid foundation of Windows NT Server. Basically, those applications share a common user interface in terms of administration, so it's very easy for an administrator to manage a set of services distributed on various servers. We provide a number of common pieces like the performance monitor and the event log that make it easy to track problems across the different server services. We, in fact, think it's the easiest server environment to manage for multiple server applications. We also have a common security model that's part of Back Office, and every one of our applications take advantage of the single user logon that's provided by the Windows NT Domain Directory service. And leveraging this in your internet applications makes it much more possible for you to build both great intranet applications that are secure and give people the right access to function, as well as internet applications that are secure and robust. The networking model of each of the Back Office applications is designed to work in a protocol-independent way. This is very good both for building intranet applications and internet applications, because every one of the applications works in both an IPX-SPX environment and in an IP environment. You can have a mix of the two in terms of putting together and building your applications. We also provide a good set of programming interfaces and tools to make it easy to build those applications. And, of course, each one of the applications is available on the wide variety of hardware platforms that are available in the market today, including Intel and Intel SMP systems, as well as Alpha MIPS and PowerPC. In the future, we'll be expanding the set of services that are provided as part of Back Office. Today, we have Microsoft Mail and very soon Microsoft Exchange, as well as SNA Server, SQL Server, and the Systems Management Server for helping to manage desktops and servers on the network. In the future, we'll be adding an Internet Proxy Server to make it easy for companies to access internet information in a secure fashion. We'll also be integrating in the merchant server that Bill showed in his talk as part of Back Office, as well as in the future adding the online transaction processing technology that we call Viper, as well as the video server, the media server that we call Bengal. All of these are built on that same common Windows NT infrastructure and integrated with the Internet Information Server that's provided as a base part of the Windows NT system. Each of these can be leveraged both by your applications, by standard development tools, and of course by our own applications, including Office, the authoring tools for the Internet like FrontPage and Internet Studio. Now, one of the great things about back office is it's a super exciting way to build intranet applications. And in particular, as both Paul Moritz and Bill Gates talked about earlier in the conference, we're working to take all the different kinds of information that exist within an organization, all these multicolored threads, and weave them together into a single tapestry that one can view across all the information in the organization. Because unfortunately, not all the information is in a static HTML page on a server. We do this, of course, for web files. We do it for messages with the Exchange server, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the things we're doing there. But we also, through some of the additions we've done to SNA server, let you do it easily for host data as well. Specifically with the DRDA driver that we've provided, it's very easy to access host database information on an AS400 or on a DB2 system. SQL Server, of course, for structured data makes it very easy to build an active website that's generating information on the fly based on user queries and allows you to build a site that's very customized to a particular application. All, of course, building on the common infrastructure of Windows NT and leveraging your investment in existing files and existing file formats. So overall, for the back office, we really see it as the core of the intranet, going beyond what you can do with static web pages, spanning the full spectrum of data storage so that you can address things on the file system, you can integrate those with messages and structured discussions that are part of the Exchange server, getting at mission-critical data stored in SQL, and making that available reliably and safely, making it easy to distribute around the organization in a wide area environment with the replication functionality provided both in SQL Server and in Microsoft Exchange so that you can easily access it. Providing a single integrated security model so that you don't have to manage separate password lists and separate user IDs on the intranet for applications that use data from a variety of locations. And having a common set of administrative tools for bringing this all together. We're moving beyond this as we move into future versions of the different pieces of the back office. Today, all of our administration has a common look and feel across the different applications. In the future, you will be able to build server applications that have a single administrative interface across multiple different server applications. We're extending what we're doing in security to go beyond the NT challenge response security mechanism and authentication mechanism we have today to support Kerberos and public key. We're extending replication beyond just the Exchange server and SQL server and extending that to the file system. We'll continue to enhance our performance and scalability for data storage and also make it possible to do more distributed kinds of data access and online transactions. Our host integration will continue to get better and integrated with the security model. The other thing that's really been at the core of Microsoft's mission, even before the sea change of the internet, has been making it much easier for people to access information, to make it much easier to do information query. We're going to make sure that it's easy to do this both across HTML files, as well as the existing files that people have in their system, and across the data that's in your applications by providing open interfaces to make it easy to query that data. And of course, all this leverages, with Windows NT, a common API in the desktop that makes it very easy with things like DCOM to distribute the load between the client and server. Now what I want to show you is a new piece of Windows NT technology that we're working on. This new piece of technology makes it possible to search both HTML files that are available on a server, as well as arbitrary data formats. We provide a set of filters to get at all the existing data that you would expect, and we support an interface called iFilter so that you can write an application that publishes its information so that it can be content indexed. I want to say that the ActiveX search technology that I'm going to demonstrate will be a common part of the Windows NT platform, and we'll make it available in beta form this summer so that you can try it out and so that you can start writing the filters that are specific to your applications. We'll provide a standard set of filters for the common file types that are available in the organization. So let's go to the demo. Here what I have is a specially built version of www.microsoft.com. This page is actually available in the Hands-On Center if any of you want to try it out. But we've taken www.microsoft.com And using the search engine technology that we built, we've content indexed all of it, all the HTML files, all the doc files, all the PowerPoint presentations that are available on top of the system. This happens automatically in the background, and in fact, we can do about on a raw system, we can do about a gigabyte of information in an hour with the content indexing technology that we're building in ActiveX Search. We provide a broad array of ways that you can query this information. So for example, you can use just a free text search where you type in some information. You can use Boolean and proximity operators so that you can look for information near another piece. You can use wildcards and free text. You can also do vector space type queries so that you can easily find different proximities of particular phrases. We also do things like stemming so that if you're searching for fly, we'll find things like flight and flying and other derivatives of the particular phrase in the system. Well, so let's go ahead and do a search on Microsoft.com. Let's look for Bill Gates. And we really want to look at those documents that are near Internet strategy. Okay. And what happens here is the search engine will go out and produce a ranked listing of all the documents that meet that particular criteria. And here you can see it matched 36 different documents where Bill Gates was near Internet strategy, and it shows me the first 10. And by default, we just have the setup to show 10 at a time so that I can skip through them. So you see the first one that it found was a document that made it easy to look at the support of the Internet and Windows 95, as well as Bill Gates' strategy presentation. So it did take into account the data that was in his PowerPoint presentation, as well as the data in the HTML transcript of the speech to formulate and rank that information as we searched it within the system. Now let me try a different kind of search. Since I'm very involved in administrative tools at Microsoft, I've been very interested in job scheduling. So let's say I wanted to find about job scheduling in Microsoft applications. Well, it could be under job schedule, it could be under a bunch of different derivatives, so I can type a wildcard search, job sched star, say execute query, and it will bring back a set of applications or a set of documents that have to do with job scheduling. And you see in particular it highlights the different pieces of SQL Server 6.5 and the job scheduler that's available. I see things like this file that talks about job scheduling and so forth. Now one of the additional added values that we provide as part of ActiveX Search is not only the capability to free text search HTML documents and existing documents in the system, but the ability to query by property on a particular document that's stored on an HTML server or on any of those servers that are linked to that server via the virtual root capability of the Internet Information Server. So if I click on the document author property query here, I have the capability of querying on the standard summary information doc file property associated with author. So here I'll search for Collins and Smith and execute a search. Well, I didn't quite type it right. Let's try that again. Meant to say or there. And here I get the set of documents that were authored by anybody named Collins or anybody named Smith. You'll notice, of course, that again, this didn't just pull that back HTML files. It pulled back all the Word documents on Microsoft.com that were authored by someone named Collins or someone named Smith. And I have the opportunity to open those directly as part of the hits that were pulled back. So there's an example of the kind of thing that we're doing to build on the base infrastructure and integrate into the platform to make it easier to find information and to build more extensive intranets as part of your applications and your website implementations. So let's go back and go through each of the pieces of the Microsoft product line. So that's a lot of how we're enhancing the foundation of Windows NT. And we really see this as the main server application foundation that we will continue to extend now and into the future. The key attributes of Windows NT Server, of course, are its high performance and scalability. We continue both with our platform support, with the tuning that we do in SMP environments, with the work we're doing in clustering to make it more high performance and more scalable. We're trying to provide the best integration into both the intra and internet. One of the key points here, of course, is the work that we've done in terms of multi-protocol support, since we know not everybody still has TCP/IP to the desktop, so that we support protocol independence in terms of application writers building things both with RPC and DCOM and with Windows sockets, as well as providing easier ways for people to roll out TCP/IP, especially with the DHCP and Win server. We also, of course, with Windows NT 4.0, integrate that with the DNS to provide a dynamic capability to register machines as part of the DNS. We really have worked hard to provide the best server application development environment, both in terms of providing a core set of administrative tools you can extend, providing good security services, a good security services architecture, and the high-performance I/O model that's available with things like completion ports in Windows NT. So how can you build great server applications on top of Windows NT? Well, there are a couple of core things that we ask applications to do that you've probably heard some about this week. The first is making sure that you run as a service and use Win32 to get high-performance I/O. This is how we're able to get the high levels of scalability in things like the Internet Information Server. As I think was said in the movie Animal House, fat and slow is no way to go through life. And fat and slow is no way to build a server application. So we really have given you a rich environment in which to build that server application, to tune it and let it scale as you add more hardware to the environment. We've also worked hard to make it easy for you to integrate into the Windows NT security model. This, for instance, in the Internet Information Server lets you set permissions on a particular file and on an intranet deny access to those particular pieces. It also lets you, for example, when you're using the Internet Database Connector, let the user have an integrated logon both to the database that's accessed through the Internet Database Connector and to the server and the network itself. We added APIs in Windows NT 3.5.1, like logon user, to make it even easier to write an application that provides a single ID. SQL Server 6.5 is the high performance database for structured data within the system, both in terms of providing the best price-performance ratio, as well as optimizing it for ODBC access. Of course, the side effect of that is that SQL Server ends up being a very good environment to build dynamic web-based applications that use the Internet Database Connector included in the Internet Information Server. We've added support in 6.5 to support heterogeneous replication. So, for instance, when you couple it with some of the other elements of back office, like the SNA server, you can do things like stage data from a SQL Server database up to the host using the heterogeneous ODBC replication feature of SQL Server. Also, if you're building a series of servers that need to have common data and are using the Internet Database Connector, you can easily distribute that information using the heterogeneous replication. We've also added some additional things to make it easy to take data that's in a SQL Server and automatically generate HTML for a website. So, for example, in SQL Server 6.5, we include an Internet Publishing Wizard that makes it possible for you to walk through, select a series of tables, or select a stored procedure or query, and either immediately or on a periodic basis, or as a result of a trigger, have that HTML page generated. So, for example, if you think of, say, a website of product information, and one of the things you want to have as part of that product information website is, say, a page that has all the items that are out of stock. As soon as the inventory of a particular item goes to zero, a trigger could be fired that would regenerate the out of stock HTML page for people to access. So we're really taking SQL Server and making it much easier for people who are building web-based applications. The other main piece, of course, is the Internet Database Connector that both lets you get at SQL data as well as other ODBC information. The way this works is really by providing two simple files in connecting to the SQL Server. The first is an IDC file that basically provides the essential information to ODBC to connect to the particular database, which stored procedure to file once the URL is accessed. And then once that query result comes back, you create another file on the Internet Information Server called an HTX file that's a template for how that information should appear. The HTX format has some pieces to help you specify where the detail goes and where different branching should occur based on the results of that stored procedure or the content that was queried via the database connector. We have a breakout session where we're going through one of the real-life applications that I'll demo a little later, where we walk through a real-world, pretty extensive example of using this to bring back multiple result sets and to leverage an extensive stored procedure on the SQL Server. This is a product I'm very excited about. You know, I talked about bridges in the beginning, and this is probably the Verrazano Narrows of the back office. It's a really substantial addition to what we're trying to accomplish with the back office, and that's providing reliable client-server messaging with groupware functionality. Exchange Server will ship in the next couple of weeks. It's very close to going golden, and it has a couple of awesome features to help you integrate with the Internet. The first thing that's included in Exchange Server 4.0 that's important is SMTP connectivity built into the system. So you get the Internet Mail Connector as a standard part of the Exchange Server. This supports MIME message types. It supports mapping of the transport neutral encapsulation format, or TNEF, to send exchange forms over the Internet to other exchange applications or exchange client users on the other side. It provides all the functionality that you would expect in a high-performance client-server messaging environment, including a very rich information store that indexes messages, provides replicated public folders for discussion and for shared applications. We're also working on a couple of additions for the next version of Exchange that enhance its Internet support, and we're covering some of those at some of the breakout sessions later today. In particular, what we've done is something called the Web Connector that allows you to publish information in public folders live to an HTML file. That also includes the ability to interact with those public folders so that via an HTML form, someone can respond to a question on a discussion group and post that information directly to the public folder. We're also working on an NNTP connector to public folders. We have this running on Microsoft. We're taking the full feed off of Usenet now in real time and pumping that into public folders. And at the point it's pumped into that first public folder server, it can leverage Exchange replication to replicate that around the network and give people access to that information. Also, of course, because it's then in the Exchange store, you have the capability to do all the kinds of indexing that are available there to create views and track conversation threads as part of the system. The last thing we're doing, and it's important for other Internet clients to access Exchange, is adding support for POP3 to the Exchange server, so that if you have a POP3 client, either the Exchange client with the POP service provider that's provided in the Plus Pack or Eudora, you can use that front end to access information in an Exchange server. So I want to talk a little bit about the web connector and how it's constructed. We built it as an iSAPI application with an extension DLL called webex.dll. And basically, once you give the URL to connect to a particular, to connect to the web connector, you basically specify the folder, the public folder that you want to access as part of Microsoft Exchange. The web connector will then call MAPI, basically the MAPI gateway APIs and the MAPI store APIs, to extract that information from Exchange and publish it out to the Internet as HTML. We then, for the standard post forms that are included as part of Exchange, provide an HTML form so that you can post that information back to the system. All this is integrated with the security that's provided as part of the Internet Information Server so that people can have secure access to that information that's published in public folders. We're also working, as I mentioned, on the news connector. Basically, the way this works is there's a service that runs that takes the NNTP feed from the internet, goes through the connector, calls the MAPI store APIs to write to the Exchange server and create the public folder hierarchy to create the mappings for the users as people respond and post information to NNTP. And then, because that information is in the public folder store, it can be replicated around the network to any of the individual servers that are available. So there are a lot of ways that you can exploit MAPI as part of your ActiveX server or as part of your ActiveX client application. The first is to use the message store and gateway APIs to move data in and out of replicated storage. So if you're building an application that runs on the server that needs a level of indexing over heterogeneous data, not highly structured data as in SQL Server, you can use the Exchange Information Store as a way to do that, especially if you need high availability across multiple servers. The replicated store is a good place to put that. It's also useful if you want to have data that's available both to people who are using the Exchange client and creating views and doing filters and doing searches with that, or information in a more unstructured or web client environment. So you can put the information there, and both kinds of clients can see it with the web connector. With client applications, if you have an application that wants to take advantage of sending mail on the internet, the easiest way to do that is with simple MAPI. Because we provide both in Windows 95 in the Plus Pack and as a standard part of Windows NT 4, the POP3 connector to get to the internet, you can call MAPI send mail, and that information can go out over the internet. That of course also works well with any of the other transports that have been provided as part of the MAPI environment. So of course it gets you to Exchange, it gets you to Microsoft Mail, it gets you to CompuServe and so forth. You can also, when you attach messages via MAPI send, you can specify a particular MIME mapping type for that information to go out as. So if you're interoperating with other internet services and need to have a specific MIME type, you can do that both with the internet mail connector or with the provider that's included as part of Windows 95 and Windows NT. Custom message types or e-forms also have the capability to be sent over the internet. And in fact, I'll be passing out today at my breakout session a new version of the transport neutral encapsulation format, which describes exactly how those MAPI properties and that MAPI information is transmitted across the internet. So if you need to unpack it on the other side from a non-MAPI client or a non-exchange environment. SNA Server and SMS really provide good ways, especially for the intranet, for managing servers on the internet and for unlocking the data that's in the host. With SNA Server, we provide an ODBC driver to DRDA that makes it very easy to access AS400 and DB2 data. That's just a standard part of SNA Server. We also provide an FTP to AFTP gateway so that you can download files from the host as part of the system. And all this fits in with the base infrastructure that's provided with the Internet Information Server. You can also, if you're building a direct host application and you're building an ActiveX type of application, you can access the host via IP over the internet with the SNA server acting as a proxy to use the SNA protocols to get back to the host. So this makes it possible to bring legacy applications into this new, easier view on all the information that's available. SMS makes it much easier to manage web farms. And one of the things that we'll cover in the breakout is how to distribute an ISAPI DLL as part of SMS's software distribution. Also, with some of the capabilities we're in the process of adding, like SNMP alerting, it fits very well into a network management environment or for managing multiple servers with things like event log coalescing. We'll also be adding to the back office the merchant server, and you saw a little bit of that in Bill's demonstration this morning. That includes some client APIs for doing shopping, and you saw a little of that in the demo, including the facilities to do encryption and payment, the ActiveX client controls for doing local order caching, and for keeping track of address information for a particular user. And on the server side, providing the links to all the data that's in the organization. Again, one of the key points we're trying to do at back office is take all the data that's available and bring that back for availability. There's support for legacy order entry and billing systems as part of this. Now, Michael Cockrell drilled down on this quite a bit more, I think, in his breakout. But basically, at every level of the system, we've provided a way where you can escape and get to the data that's specific to an organization. So in particular, there are APIs to make it possible to get out and get at product databases that may already exist in the organization, to get at other payment systems that may be part of the system, and also to get at legacy information that's in accounting systems and other information systems within the organization. With that, that's really kind of a broad brush overview of the particular APIs in each of the servers. I really encourage you to go to the breakouts on both the web connector and on the different pieces of the back office. We're showing you how to do some of those particular server applications. What I want to do right now is bring out Mark Tebbe, who's a president of Lante, and take you a little bit through the Lante on-site system. Let me take a second to describe that first. The Lante on-site system, which a lot of you have been using, actually it's been getting quite a beating from you, is the complete activity center for you at the PDC. It's all implemented on top of the Internet Explorer and Microsoft Back Office. It heavily uses SQL Server, Exchange, and the Internet Information Server. So now let's go over and I'll introduce Mark Tebbe, who's president of Lante.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks for being here. So, a lot of people have been using the system. It seems to be really, really busy.
It's actually kind of fun because to build a system like this, you know, and it's the first time it's been done entirely on an internet, and see people lining up and using it to run their daily business. I mean, we just randomly set mailboxes to be a maximum of 100 megabits. And what we saw was people have exceeded it. I mean, to run through 100 megabytes of data, and we're watching these people, and they're running their business, having all their mail forwarded from here, from their offices forwarded here. And then we're also seeing a lot of people spamming things out.
Yeah, I know. There's been so much spamming, it's a regular Hormel plan out there. But, so why don't you show me a little bit of the system.
Okay. What we have here is the ability, when you walk up to those kiosks, to basically just do an NT logon. And then you'll be presented with this screen, which basically says welcome to you and gives you a little bit of an overview of what we have to offer.
So you take the NT logon information and you use that to customize the user's access to the web page.
Right. Well, from the NT logon, we basically point to their home directory and then update the registry with all their information so we know exactly who they are and what their schedule and everything is.
Yeah, so you probably just fill in the name here and then the rest of this is just a static page because I imagine it's the same for everybody.
No, as a matter of fact, what's really kind of cool is the way in which this entire system is built with dynamic HTML. There's no static HTML in the entire application. And so what we have is this news of the day. We actually could customize per person if we so desired. And the same thing with the menu on the right. Some people who use it, like our administrators, like Chris Dalton or Eric Gorney, will see a fourth button on here, whereas me, they don't let me have administrative rights. They take it away. But that right-hand side is dynamic as well and grows and shrinks depending on the rights the person has.
Okay, why don't you show me some more of the system?
Okay, so from here, the person has the ability to go in and see information about the conference, scheduling our agenda, and the communication network itself. And this information is actually the same information that we have at www.microsoft.com up on Showcase Events. So I can come into the conference information here, and again, entirely built dynamically. I can see, you know, facts, I can see maps and things like that. But let's go ahead and look for exhibitor information, for example. From here, I just say, I want to see a map or a search. I'll pick a search. And here I can fill in the search, again, all dynamic. I can fill in the search criteria, a short description of what they have, maybe a booth number, or I can search it alphabetically. So let's pick alphabetically, we'll just see. Here are all the exhibitors that are at this show who start with the letter C. And I'll pick someone here in the middle, Citrix. And here's the information about Citrix. So if you didn't know anything about Citrix and you wanted to get a little bit more information, we have that here. And what you'll notice is when we had got their information as an exhibitor, they identified that they did have a home page. So you'll see that this Citrix name right here is actually a dynamic link. Again, entirely pulled out of the SQL database. We have a field in SQL that points to the home page. And I could click here, go out to the internet, and pull up literally Citrix on the page live.
So if you needed to add a new vendor, how would you do that in the system, like as new vendors were added?
Since our role really is to develop the applications rather than to maintain them, we want the show managers to do that. So we have an access front end to SQL Server that allows people to literally just insert a row. So if we added a new exhibitor here, we just literally put Citrix system in and say their address, their description, their web page, the booth number, and the like. And you'll see also that the booth number is dynamic. So again, what we have here is the ability to point to a booth number and pull up the exhibit hall showing exactly where they are.
That's great. So it's easy to find the information, and it's easy for someone to manage the site by adding the information to the SQL database.
Right. I mean, the person really doesn't have to know that much about
it. So how else do you use the personalization features?
Well, once we have the information, we know who everybody is, we're able to maintain the personal schedule. So if we look at a thing, here, for example, is my personal schedule for today. And I literally could switch to any of the other days there if I so desired. And I see here that from 8 to 9, Bill spoke this morning, and I have a discussion link which goes out to Exchange. And I could literally go into a threaded conversation regarding what people thought of it, what they thought of his video, and the like. And just right there dynamically.
That's okay. You don't need to launch Exchange. We have a breakout session where we're going to go through exactly how each of the pieces of this particular page were constructed, including the database schema, how the links were set up to the public folders, how the stored procedure and web connector was built.
That's true, because I'm actually planning to attend that one. And what you'll see here is in my personal schedule, I've added this particular session called Powering the Internet with Back Office, which Todd is alluding to. And here I can click on it and pull up all the information itself and basically see that it's, you know, today and a short description of it, that it's got Todd in charge. And then on the right-hand side, again, dynamically, I see what track it's related to. I can see the whole track layout. I can get more information. I see it's a doubled session. Again, jump out and point to Exchange. I can send email to Todd. Again, firing off the thing. Or if I'm going, you know what, I'm not sure if I really want to see this. We have, again, a pointer that allows us to go out, pull down a copy of Todd's presentation, and basically read it right here.
So how do you do that? How do you do that using the database connector, and how do you set up your schema and the different things to do that?
Well, the way in which we do that is we have a pointer in the database that says Todd Warren's presentation is, and you see it, WAREE052.ppt out on a common directory. We then launch that, bring it down to the browser here, and then launch the PowerPoint viewer right out of the browser and load your slides so that people can look at them dynamically.
So you have a link in the SQL database, and then that activates a file that's stored in the file system.
Correct. As a matter of fact, I mean, the way in which we're running the demo here, this could very easily be happening at www.backgroundsoft.com, to where if you wanted to, after the event, go up and pull down and run this exact same thing, you have that capability.
Great. So tell me a little bit about the development cycle for this application. You know, when did it start? You know, I don't know if it's ever finished, but how did that work?
Well, it's finished when the show goes live. We started on this about 3 months ago, was when Microsoft said, you know, we really want to see if we can build this type of system. And we had really pointed out that we really think that there's a lot of opportunity here and wanted to jump on an example. I said, great, can you do this? Can you get it up to www.microsoft.com in, let's say, 2 months? Wisely or stupidly, we said, yeah, we could do that. And we did. And then we took another month to build the local component. So start to finish, it took three people about 3 months from we got an idea to here's the final system. I mean, what you're running today is literally less than 3 months old.
That's great. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Well,
it looks like a great system.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. So as I mentioned, we'll be having a breakout session where we go through in detail how the Lante on-site system was constructed, including the complete database schema and walking through how the database connector was used, how Exchange was linked in as part of the system. It's used, to recap, it's used for the registration of different people as part of the system. We use the Internet database connector. Every page is done with the web connector, including the logon, including all the menus and registrations as they come up. And then there's a SQL Server that contains all the descriptions of the courses, the particular links to which sessions a particular user is interested in, and so forth. So one of the nice ways that we're making it possible to expand that is, you notice today, for instance, to link to an Exchange public folder, what Mark had to embed was a shortcut that activated Exchange client to view the public folder. With the Exchange web connector that Tom McCann is covering in his breakout session, you would be able to to activate that via URL and stay within the HTML environment. So we're making it much easier to move from viewing that structured information that's in SQL to some semi-structured information that's in Exchange, or to the unstructured information that's in the file system with things like the PowerPoint slides. Now I want to talk about another application that's been developed by a company called Software Business Technologies. Now, SBT is a company that's been developing applications in the PC market for a long time. They both develop accounting applications, and then in the last year or so, they started to develop internet applications. They have lots of users and a big channel of VARs that customize that customize their accounting system for different customers. They initially based their system on FoxPro, and they've been evolving it to use things like SQL Server and the internet as they've added on to it. They have two main products, a web series product that basically allows someone to take their product information that's inside their accounting system and publish that easily on the internet, and then let people order information and have those orders go directly into the accounting system. They also aid small businesses in using this by through a service they have called WebStreet, which basically lets them host a series of businesses' home pages and product information so that they can order the different pieces. WebTrader SQL is the application that we're going to show you in just a second. And really, what lets a small business do is take their product list that's already in their accounting and inventory system, take their payment system that's already in their accounting system, and build a full-functioning presence on the internet that's linked with their internal systems. So it's a great example of taking a traditional client-server application and extending it to take advantage of the internet. They've added a feature called intelligent ordering that makes it easy let a customer order, let a customer electronically check on their orders as part of the system, and they also provide integration with other order entry systems if you're not using SBT's accounting system. Now, they had started this application before we released the Internet Information Server and had initially implemented it on O'Reilly website. After they moved WebStreet, their internet presence, to NT Server, they saw a lot of improvements. They saw much better performance, much easier integration, and much easier database access and security. They've used, for example, in the WebTrader application, the internet database connector. So now what I'd like to do is bring out David Harris, who's president of SBT, SBT Internet Systems, to take us through the WebTrader application. David? Thanks for being here, David.
My pleasure.
So yesterday you were telling me a little bit about the evolution of SBT and sort of how you've approached some of the sea changes like graphical user interface and the internet.
You know, the accounting marketplace is very conservative. These people think a DOS application is a breakthrough technology. And so we've just moved them into Windows over the past 4 years, and now we're hitting them with the internet.
And how have the tools been to do that?
Well, the tools have evolved. We started our services about a year and a half ago. We started on Unix boxes. We've moved over to the NT box, and now we're using Internet Information Server to run all of our sites. We have about 50 domains and about 300 or more business users that run sites that catch commerce off the internet.
That's great. Let's take a look.
Okay. We're looking right now at one of our WebStreet malls called Mall 1. This is a mall that shares products and services to end users. We're going to take a look at a category of products up here that are displayed. And we see that the New York Smoked Fish Company has a homepage.
Now, is that really a company?
That's a real company in New York.
Wow.
Now, these folks are actually taking orders from the internet. They are currently a wholesaler, and they wanted to experiment with a retail presence. They found the internet was an ideal way to share their products and sell them direct. The cost of opening up a retail store in the tri-state area is immense, you can imagine. This allowed them to solve that business problem, test direct sales, without having to actually open up a physical store. Mm-hmm. Now, their catalog is being displayed here on Exchange, or actually the Explorer, Internet Explorer. And there's a movie, a little AVI movie that's showing here. Now, what's nice for them is that that movie shows automatically on the Explorer, whereas other browsers require that a special helper application be installed. Mm-hmm. We can take a look at their catalog. Now, this catalog is coming out of their inventory database. The items that are shown here are coming out of a SQL database, and we're using an ISAPI application. In fact, the IDC kit that comes with Information Server 2 to allow us to display this information. So the information is current, it's out of the corporate database, and they don't have to create extensive HTML catalogs from scratch like they used to.
That's great. So just based on their inventory and their products that are stored in their accounting system, their website would get updated.
That's correct. So if we click on something like a picture, we can actually go into the order processing cycle. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not only showing a dynamic page here, but we're getting into an interactive session, actually a data entry session that we're having with the SQL Server.
Wow, that's great. So they can actually push the data entry out to their customers instead of having to do it themselves.
That's right. In fact, the banks did this about 20 years ago when ATMs were devised. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew it then, but we now do all data entries for banks. The same thing is about to happen in commerce. So I can go ahead and start this order entry process. And the system went out, recognized that I was a prior customer. And through stored procedures, my name and address was brought up here, as well as a discount level based on the amount of smoked fish that I've ordered from the site in the past.
So it brings up a price list that's customized to you based on a set of discount tables and the information that's stored in the accounting system about the customer.
Absolutely. Now I can jump back to the catalog, or I can go ahead and get my total page, and more stored procedures are going to execute calculating tax, calculating shipping charges, and showing me what my total bill due is.
Wow, that's great.
Now here is where we're going to add some merchant server capabilities in the future, but today I would enter a credit card information, and this credit card information is encrypted with SSL, so that this does not flow in the clear, it is actually encrypted when it's transmitted. We'll go ahead and approve this order, and not only do I see this order that I just keyed in, but I see all prior orders that I've placed with this site.
Wow, so someone wouldn't need to call a customer service representative at that organization to find out the status of that particular order. They just query the accounting data directly.
Exactly. One of the things that we learned by automating a large number of clients on the internet is that you have to do things differently. You have to provide more feedback to the buyers. In fact, we also trigger an email confirmation of the shipment. When that fish actually leaves the loading dock, an email message goes to the buyer telling them that the fish is on the way. And, of course, we include the airbell tracking number from UPS or FedEx.
Wow, so the application then calls MAPI to send that message out.
That's right.
And alert it. So you use SQL Server to store the data, and then once it's sent out, you use MAPI to send a confirmation over.
That's
the
right.
Data.
That's right.
Great.
That's a new category of applications. We call our application Web Alert. Web Alert is the beginning of intelligent spamming. Instead of random spamming, we can send out collection notices for people that order on account. We can send out notices of things that are on sale and so forth.
That's super.
Now, this order is fed into their existing accounting system, which is running on a LAN. We can jump into that accounting system and see that order has come in. It's actually in a sales order record.
Wow.
And this could be transported to, of course, our systems, which integrate automatically, but any other existing accounting system that's in place, either on a mini, mainframe, or in PCs.
That's terrific. So you've taken the data in the accounting system and really made it work to expand the customer's business.
That's it.
Looks like a super application. Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye. So it can be done today. You can take your application that's been designed for the intranet and help your customers expand to the internet and offer a great set of new features with what we've done with Back Office. So I just want to take a second to recap the Back Office logo, which is a great way for your application, once you've taken advantage of these services, to tell customers that you're using the Back Office in an efficient and reliable way. For server applications, we ask that you run as a service, or if you're an ISAPI application, being an ISAPI DLL gives you that part of the requirement. We ask that you be network independent in terms of how you run the system and provide unified logon as part of the system. We also ask that you be deployable using the system's management server, and we've done a number of tools to make that easier to do. If you're a client application and you have a Windows-based client, using any of the APIs, for example, having send and post on your menu as a document-oriented application helps you get the logo and making yourself installable with systems management server. We have a lot of applications that are logoed today. The testing's already in place if you're leveraging Exchange to get tested for the logo. And we expect to more than double the total number of people who have the logo. So in summary, Microsoft Back Office makes it easy for you to leverage the internet, to create easy-to-manage sites, to take a traditional client-server application and add additional functionality that gives your customers a presence on the internet. With Exchange, there's a lot of functionality to link to internet mail, and we're adding things to make it even easier to access that in a web-based environment or in a POP3 and NNTP environment. We've designed Back Office to make your application or site much more powerful, much easier to manage, and there's lots of great services to come. Thanks a lot, and I look forward to all of you going and getting the Back Office logo.